Hello and welcome to Two Mics with Two Mics. I'm Pastor Michael. I have one mic.
And I'm Pastor Mike, and I have a mic.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Today we're going to crack open something very near and dear to the mics. And what would that be, Pastor?
We're going to talk about men and masculinity. A great subject.
Yeah, we need to get a nice one of those cans of worms, and we'll just unscrew it and pop it open when it comes to topics like this. So
what I said earlier.
Yes, we're going to do it. Go ahead.
And the reason that we're going to talk about this, because in the last at least couple of decades, maybe even three, masculinity has been under attack, specifically in America. You've probably noticed that a lot of sitcoms have attacked masculinity, making the husband out to be basically the imbecile of the home. A lot of commercials are that way. Even children's cartoons, like the Berenstain Bears, show the dad not to be the intelligent one in the family or the one leading the family. A lot of times it's the mama bear leading the family. So that's one reason we are on this topic
today. Also, it even goes with the kids. I was recently on vacation with my family. I got a beautiful wife and a daughter, and we don't have classic cable. And so when we go on vacation, we'll flip on something for my daughter to watch. And when it's not the mom leading or the woman leading the home, a lot of the times they'll portray the parents as complete morons that are almost incapable of forming sentences, to where the kids have to save the day. Even something as innocent, I'll say this as, what was it called? Paw Patrol. Something as innocent as Paw Patrol, the whole thing is there's an entire town and every single adult gets into trouble where a little teenager and a bunch of talking dogs have to save the adults. I mean, it's very innocent in some ways, but it's also sending a nice little subliminal message to the children that they're smarter than the adults. So it's literally emasculating mostly men in our society media, but it's also emasculating adults. It's kind of interesting, but the men are under attack. It's been that way for a long time.
For a long time. So a little over a week ago, we held a men's event called I Refuse to be Castrated.
Refuse.
Yes, and this is out of Deuteronomy 23, chapter 1, and I would like to read that out of the Amplified Bible. He who is wounded in the testicles or has been made a eunuch shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Now, that was under the Mosaic law, and that was speaking physically. What we are going to talk about today is the spiritual castration of pastors, leaders, and men in the church, and the societal castration of men in America. So this is a very good and fitting scripture for that, Deuteronomy 23, verse 1 out of the Amplified Bible. When we held this event, this was just round one. We are going to do round two sometime in November.
And there's been, you know, case in point, let's hit the hot button, the Barbie movie, okay? My daughter plays the Barbies. Barbie was made, what, over 50, 60 years ago, something like that. And the most recent Barbie movie, I went to go see a different movie. And as I'm standing in line, I do see, first of all, little girls, like 12, 13 years old, in full-blown dresses, going to see this movie, standing in front of the fixture that they have at the movie theaters to take pictures and all that jazz. And then I see guys start coming in. And there was two that caught my eye because they were kind of, you know, big college guys. But they're kind of like extra-large, muscular guys wearing extra small pink spaghetti strap tank tops, standing in line for the Barbie movie. And as I look around, there's more guys like that going into the Barbie movie. And right now there's a claim that that movie is actually grossed more than some of the biggest movies domestically, including like Batman. So somehow the Barbie movie has surpassed Batman, which is kind of interesting to say the least. But there is a massive push for a accessory male as opposed to a man leading the home or a man actually walking around in masculinity. They're labeling masculinity as toxic masculinity, which is just a big old lie.
It's ridiculous. And I think one reason there's masculinity is missing in many of our young boys, teenagers, and even young adults is because of the absence of the father in the home.
Oh, yeah.
And there are organizations such as Black Lives Matter who, in their original statement of their organization, attacked the male figure in the home, attacked the nuclear family, a father, a mother, you know, children, attacked that. And hats off to all you moms who have been abandoned by the fathers, and you are left alone to raise your sons in a home without a masculine example to go by.
I would call them more of a donor than a father.
They're more of a donor. We don't know exactly the circumstances behind all that, but we want to congratulate and applaud you single moms who are raising your children because the man of the home deserted you. And we do. We applaud you. Thank you for everything you do.
Yeah, and I encounter that a lot in youth. There are a lot of youth that have come through in the system as well as, you know, living at home with a single mother. And there is so much that a single mom does not know how to undertake. I can't tell you the amount of calls that I've received with, you know, my young boy is now closing his door. Well, it might be because he's growing up to be a man and wants some boundaries between him and mom. But they don't know how to handle that. And they're doing it on their own. And some have risen to the occasion and some crumble underneath it. But that's where men surrounding these boys in the sense of giving them a biblical example of how to walk out their life, how to live their life, how to actually be men and be masculine. That's one of the biggest things. You know, it's not if a boy wants to pretend a stick is a gun or wave a stick around, even though my father-in-law lost his eye to a stick. But if a boy wants to wave a stick around and pretend that he's fighting all these different things, there's a reason for it because men are built to fight for something. And they're built to actually fight for a female's love, to fight invaders of their marriage, those who would actually want to disrupt it. They're meant to protect the home. They're meant to fight every day to provide. You know, there's something in men, in boys, that should be cultivated, but societally it is being tampered down and pushed down like you know, little Johnny, you got to put down that stick now. Because you know what? You could really hurt somebody's feelings. Someone might be excluded from your games.
I heard Dr. James Dobson years ago talk about these moms who are trying to do a good job raising up their children and how, you know, like you just mentioned, Pastor Michael, how some of them, they don't want their young boys, you know, playing with guns. They won't buy them a plastic gun or anything like that. And Dr. James Dobson, who is an authority on this, I'm not, but he is, and this is what he said. He said, I guarantee you that it's so innate in males that even though you tell your son, no, you can't have that, you can't play with that, that's a plastic gun, no, they will go out in the yard, and like you said, they will find a stick, and the stick will become an imaginary gun. They will, he said, they will eat their sandwich in the shape of a handgun, and they do. And I speak with a little authority about this because I grew up in a single-parent home. My dad was a truck driver, and for much of the time, he was away from our home. I think the longest I ever saw my dad growing up from birth to the age of 10, the longest time I ever saw my dad at home was 3 weeks, and that about drove him nuts. My mother, unfortunately, 6 months after I was born, got a blood clot on the right side of her brain, paralyzed the left side of her body. And so it was a struggle. And my dad, he just preferred to be on the road. Well, at the age of 10, he abandoned us, divorced my mother. We ended up in Nebraska. I remember going out for sports. I did not understand the game of football, but I could run. And so I went out for cross country. Of course, I could wrestle. Went out for wrestling and track. And then the next year, sophomore year, I remember I tried to go out for football. And because I was fast, I was a fast runner, but I couldn't understand the dimensions of the game. And that, I believe, is due to no father figure in the home.
And I'll say this as well, just because going back to, you know, there's something in boys. You know, there's a reason why certain movies where there's a princess and there's, you know, somebody fighting for the princess. Well, little girls want to be princesses. They want to be fought for. There's a reason behind that there's a man fighting for the princess because they want their heart to be cherished. It's like Ephesians 5. They want to be cherished, and they want a man to give himself up, as Christ does for the church, for that, for her love, for her attention, for her whatever. And a guy is born to fight for something. That's why there's a lot of guys who can sit through those movies, like The Princess Bride, and go, oh, yeah. And you like the guy, even though there's a lot of sappy love stuff in it, but you like the guy because he's fighting for something, and guys can actually, and boys can actually find a kindred spirit with that because it's in them. But what's really important is not just the whole masculinity thing, it's biblical masculinity. And so...
And you're going to read
something. Yes, I'm going to read something. This is about David, King David, and the Amalekites, and he was given Ziklag. I'm not going to go too far into it, actually. I'll just read it. Now, it happened when David... This is 1 Samuel 30. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great, and they did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and all the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. I want to hit that real quick, mm-hmm. because there's also the other side of this where men literally believe, I cannot show any emotion. That is also a fallacy.
That's a fallacy.
That's wrong. David literally, it says right here, they lift up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. When they lost their children, their wives, to an enemy who had taken them away, mm-hmm. they wept. It's a good thing to actually feel your emotions. It's not letting them control you, but to feel them as a man and then right. do something about it, which I'll read in a second.
Real men weep.
Yes.
The shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept.
And every teenage theologian knows that verse.
And Jesus was a man of all men,
mm-hmm.
besides being God in the flesh.
Correct. And David... This is verse 5. David's two wives have been taken captive. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and daughters. But David, here's the important thing, and this is where godly men lack. They'll go to the bottle, they'll go to the TV, they'll go to social media, they'll even go to their wives. And I'm not saying don't go to your wife for some things, but you're not supposed to have your wife be your God, have your wife be your Holy Ghost. It says right here, David strengthened himself in his God, the Lord his God. David, when he was faced with the leadership of having all these wives and these daughters and these sons taken away, all of his men turning on him, he manned up and went to God for strength to do what was necessary. And in the following verses, because I don't want to take up too much time, it says that he... actually did something about it and consulted with the Lord after he was strengthened from the Lord, consulted with him whether or not to go and get the women and the children and all the plunder back. And the Lord said yes, and David and his men went victorious and got back every little bit that was mm-hmm. taken from them. But it started with David feeling the emotions and the loss of all those who were taken, but then strengthening himself in the Lord. And we don't have enough men in church, strengthen himself in the Lord. They'll strengthen themselves with things from the world, and like I said, from their wives. It's okay to bring things to your wife, but if you're looking for strength from a human, you're mm-hmm. doomed to fail from the start.
And that's what you meant earlier when you said godly men lack this. You mean weak godly men lack this.
Yes, weak godly men. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I mean, but there aren't just so many men in the church who show up who... depend on their wives for things that they need to depend on God for. Yes. Strengthening yourself in the Lord is what makes a man worth following if he is calling himself a Christ follower. If you don't strengthen yourself in the Lord, what happens when you and your wife are in turmoil? When you end your wife, you and your family are feeling a loss of something, of a child, of a family member. Who are you going to get strength from if they're out of strength already? If a person, if your uncle is out of strength, if somebody's dying, whatever circumstance. It means something to strengthen yourself in the Lord.
It means a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to find. That's what we need to learn, how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord instead of having to run here or run there like you were just saying. And it's very important. Of course, one way to strengthen yourself in the Lord is to quote, speak out of your mouth scriptures that build you up, male or female, that build you up. You know, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in a person. That person is Christ. Amen? And so you read scriptures like that. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we quote those out of our mouth. In fact, that gives me, I want to go to Joshua chapter 1 real quick, read one verse.
No, you go ahead.
Joshua was, of course, taking over for Moses. And for all of us that like formulas, and I like formula, God gives Joshua a three-part formula for success and how to prosper. And he says, now, Joshua, he says, you're the man now. Moses is dead. And he says in verse 8, he said, Joshua, I do not want this book of the law or my word. Joshua, I do not want my word to cease from coming out of your mouth. In other words, Joshua, I want you to continually speak what I say, what God says. Continually speak my word. I want you to meditate in my word. Now, meditation is deeper than memorization. Memorization deals with the mind. Meditation deals with the heart. Meditation is where we take a verse or a small passage and we literally, like a cow, we eat it, we digest it, and then we regurgitate it back up, and we eat it, and then we digest it again, and then we regurgitate it back up. We mull on it. We ask ourselves, how does this word of the Lord apply to my life? How does this word of the Lord change my situation? How does this word of the Lord direct my steps? So he said, Joshua, I want you to speak my word. Joshua, I want you to meditate my word. And then what James wrote in his book echoes the third thing God said. And Joshua, I want you to be a doer of my word. So speak my word, meditate my word, be a doer of my word. And God says this, if you do that, he said, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have not just success. He said, you will have good success.
And I'll say this, because everything, obviously, everything you just said was true. Because
it's from the Bible.
So weird. but speaking the word of God shouldn't just come from the man's mouth regarding a man. As a man of God, if you're walking with the Lord and you have a family, and even if you don't, speaking the word of God over others, speak the word over your family. Don't speak death to your family. You speak life to your family. And what's life? The word of God. So speaking life over your children, speaking the word over your children, your brothers, your sisters, and then taking that further, if you're a single male, you could still be masculine in the biblical sense, speaking God's word to those around you, to those at your church, edifying them. And so building up the body. But there's so much in this subject, it's hard to cover in like one session.
Which our session is over.
We're going to explore this more because the more that good men do nothing, evil will prosper. And that's actually one of the reasons why the church is in the predicament that it is today, is because men of God who are supposed to be pastors and called to the pastorate have been silent on a lot of issues just to simply spare people's feelings. And that's why we have a lot of single mothers. That's why we have a lot of wayward teenagers and kids in the system, because men aren't stepping up to actually be biblically masculine, taking responsibility. That's one thing that we'll talk about, being a man of God eventually in future episodes. Taking responsibility as a man, mm-hmm. speaking the word out, meditating on the word. A man who meditates on the word, you'll see how they actually develop integrity. how they develop character, how they develop really an anointing, and can walk around in that. So with that being said, I'm Pastor Michael. Thank you for tuning in. Like and subscribe to our page. Comment, share it. Yeah, that's a big one. Let us know if you have questions. If you liked the Barbie movie, we don't care. We don't care. We don't want to hear about that. That's okay. You can wear pink in your couch at home.
God bless you.
God bless you.